Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 84. It is a beautiful Saturday, February, what are we, the 12th today? 11th? It is Super Bowl Eve. We also got some Premier League to talk about. How you doing, Yanis? I'm your host, Kevin.
Doing good, doing good. Who's your pick for tomorrow?
I mean, I think the Eagles are going to win, but I hope the Chiefs win. I hate the Eagles. So.
Oh, yeah, because you're obviously you're a Giants fan, so that makes sense. I don't know. I think I want to say Eagles, but I've heard an overwhelming majority of people say they... I want the Chiefs, but I heard a majority of overwhelming majority of people say the Eagles, and I think it could be...
They want the Eagles or they think the Eagles?
They think the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles, they're favorites. Vegas has them predicted to win.
So. Yeah. Eagles are majority favorites, which is hard odds because never KC is in the Super Bowl. Usually you go for KC, but
Eagles just different. Have a super solid team. Yeah. We got some Premier League to talk about. I know you're a little upset because Arsenal dropped points once again, but we're gonna talk about it.
I'm not too upset. I don't know. I mean, the game against Everton was. Bad because we didn't really show anything. We didn't really showcase anything at all. So that one was bad. But today, against Brentford, it was a better performance overall. We just got the goal, but we weren't able to finish our chances. I think that's more unlucky than a bad performance. So I mean, I'm 50-50.
It's two games in a row, you're dropping points now against teams that you should be getting results against. Brentford, to be fair, 10 games undefeated.
Which, I mean, it makes sense because they're in the form, but everything was not, there was no excuse to lose at Everton. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah, first game
then
manager.
We just got to hope that the Sean Dyche effect is real, for real. But City dropped points too last week, so thanks for the Spurs for that. That was very appreciated.
Yeah, Spurs go from beating City last week to getting battered against Leicester today.
Bro, it wasn't even close. It's
perfect Spurs fashion. That's what they do. So inconsistent. This is why they're not going to be challenging for anything this year. As we record this, Newcastle versus Bournemouth is 1-1. Newcastle conceding. It's not something that happens very often.
Not with that defense.
No, not with that defense, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see how that game finishes, because if they win, they're still going to hold on to that third place on goal differential. But, the Prem is looking fun this year, but it's looking like, last time we spoke, we said Arsenal was at the top, and kind of like they had their own, the whole future in their hands. And, I mean, they're still... have what, 6-point lead over Man City, but it's close now, two results like this, and then you guys play City, so it could go either way. Are you starting to get nervous?
I think the next game is on February 15th, that's City, so I just thought about that. That actually kind of changes everything.
Yeah,
because now, if we don't win, that's a must win now, because if we don't win that, City are 3 points back.
City are 3 points back behind you guys, and you guys drop points in three in a row.
We got to bounce back real quick. I didn't actually think about that one. Yeah, that makes it... Now I'm a little more worried. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little more nervous now.
I mean, how do you feel about Trossard, though? He's been coming on for Martinelli usually after 60 minutes or so, but he's kind of had a really good impact when he comes on.
Yeah.
I mean, today he scores the goal, right? Do you think he starts earning more first team minutes?
The fact that he can play all three positions at the front, it really does help. But every time he's come in, he's been very productive, trying to provoke things. I liked his delivery. Today's production was probably one of the best ones. But yeah, I do think eventually if Martinez doesn't really improve, which I doubt it will happen, I'm pretty sure that he will get more minutes. I just think that it's also because he just is starting in a new system. That may be the reason why he doesn't want to start him right away, because he doesn't want to change the winning formula so far.
Totally fair. I'm just curious because, I mean, Martinelli is still playing well, to be honest.
I think it's just good to have another option off the bench, really. Kevin? Wi-Fi went out.
How do you think that impacts the squad when Jesus comes back?
I think it can only be positive. Nketiah has been kind of quiet the last two games. Maybe Jesus is gonna eventually need to run a game to like get back into it. It can only be a positive. We kind of need another goal scoring threat right now anyway. So it would be very much appreciated if you can. I don't know when he's supposed to scheduled to come back though. I haven't looked at that yet.
They said game week 25.
Oh, that's still some time ago.
Oh.
Still a lot of time until he comes back then.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
I think we're going to definitely need it. It depends on what situation will be, I guess, once he comes back. I mean, regardless of what situation we'll be in, we definitely will need like more goals coming up. So hopefully he comes back in some sort of form and try to help out with that. Because right now, like especially that February 15 game is massive now. That has to be a must-win. I think we're at home, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And the last time we played City,
we
looked good even though we were playing away. Looks like we were, I guess, almost having the better chances. I think this time, if we can sort of like be more clinical in front of goal, more clinical in front of goal, then it should be hopefully going our way. I don't know who City is playing tomorrow though.
City plays Villa. Villa.
They've been playing better on the Emery, but I think City should still relatively be
Yeah, I mean, City are usually going to be the favorites in any matchup they start. So.
Speaking of City and allegations, I was going to mention, did you see what happened this week?
I mean, I think everybody saw what happened this week. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing to talk about because, I mean, it's some pretty serious allegations. And the repercussions could be extremely serious. What are your thoughts on the whole thing? So everybody who doesn't know, they were basically accused of like breaching financial fair play like 100 different ways or something like that. And they basically are going to start an investigation. And is this similar to what UEFA kind of accused them of?
I think it's that, but there's also some other stuff included into it. I'll be honest, there's a lot of things that...
It goes like 10 years back or something.
They've been investigating this for like, I think, 4 years. So they're just like sort of coming out towards the end of it. Yeah.
Now they're making a claim.
There's still a lot that we need to like understand into this. I was watching The Athletic before, pretty much the entire week, and how they explained it. And there's still some things that I'm kind of confused about, so... But the main point is City, there's a lot of things that City have accused of, and that City are saying that they've done it in, that they actually, like, were in order. Which, kind of, like, it's like...
I saw one of the things, apparently they created, like, a fake sponsor to say they were getting money from them, but, like, that sponsor was just, like, the same company that the owner has. It's, like, a company that the owner owns. And there's like no employees or anything.
And is that the company like that paid Mancini like an astronomical sum when he left?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's a lot of shit going on. And I mean, some of the repercussions they're saying like you can get points deduction, you can get titles deducted, you could get relegated to like League Two, like a lot of like really serious implications. So we're going to see how that plays out. But I think one of the things worth mentioning for sure is like we've seen. When the UEFA investigations came out, we saw Pep kind of like basically say like he's only cares about the football side. He spoke to the owners and everything, and they've told him that they've been honest with him. They've basically said they did nothing wrong or whatever. So he said, if they lie to me, then I'm out. But if they're like telling the truth and, you know, that's it, then I'm fine with it. But as soon as I find out they lied to me, I'm out. So now it's a very, you know, if something comes out, maybe Pep is out before the season even finishes.
Highly unlikely. From what he said, he still like has the trust of the club so far. So until like,
no, he has the trust. It would be his decision to leave. He basically said that he spoke with the owners and he doesn't want to like participate or encourage any of like this like wrong shenanigans, whatever. But he basically said he asked the club like, "What's up?" And they told him like, "Nothing's wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. It's all fake." But he said, like, if they lie to me, then that's a different question. Like he said, he would leave.
I don't feel actually do it though, because that would be kind of wild for. I mean, for City, it'll completely change their season. I mean, in terms of all the penalties that could happen, I think the worst thing that could happen to them is like point deduction. I don't think they'll be relegated. I don't even think they'll be kicked out of the Champions League. I highly doubt that. I could see a point deduction, and it'd be like sort of similar to what we saw with Juventus earlier this year.
You think they get any like a title deducted?
Titles.
You know,
I don't think titles. It'll affect this season probably point deduction. I think that's the worst thing that could happen to them.
I mean, that'd be pretty crazy if they're like, oh yeah, you remember that Aguero goal? Yeah. Now you guys didn't win.
Never happened. Didn't happen.
You're fucked.
Canceled it out. Yeah,
didn't happen.
That would be fucked, crazy. Honestly. Actually, I don't think they would go this far. But I mean, it is the UEFA or even the Prem. Like you never know with the Prem.
I mean, we've seen big teams get relegated before. It happened to Juve.
Yeah, but Juve was like
impossible, especially if like
catastrophic, like. Corruption, fraud, refs were involved. Like it was bad.
I mean, this would be this would be like just
not
as fraudulent,
like involving
breaking
the refs.
These rules and lying about it. Like,
match fixing? I don't think it went up to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's like
you gotta get out of the league at that point. And that's why Juve, like, it took them so long to actually come back and like be something relevant, and now they're back in trouble again. I mean, we could probably talk about it. But
they got relegated,
it was two leagues. I think it was Serie C. And, I can't remember if it was 06 or 07. But I know, like, I think Deschamps, like, came back to the club to, like, help them at that point. That's, like, one of the main names that I remember out of all that story. But, yeah, I mean, that's something that I could probably read on more. I don't just may remember it. We could probably talk about Juventus next week about like how, because they got 15 point deducted. No, was it 15 or 11 point deducted for them this year? Yeah, it was like financial stuff though. It wasn't as bad as last time, but it's still for that to happen to you guys again, it's crazy. So, Juve didn't have such a great year anyways, so that definitely doesn't help. But yeah, we just gotta fix up, bro. The ownership, we gotta do better.
I guess we'll see how that goes. We're gonna have to keep a close eye on that.
Let's talk about some transfers. The deadline was the 31st or 1st of February? I can't remember. 31st of January.
Yes.
So, yeah. Sabitzer United, what do you think?
I like it. I mean, it was kind of like a last minute move, right? Because we found out that Eriksen is out long term. So we needed another midfielder, right? Because we already lost Van de Beek. We basically only have, playing that kind of position, we have Fred and McTominay, so, and Casemiro. So it's not enough. So I think Sabitzer, like, he was like super open to it. He said he's been watching the club, like, he's really enjoyed the football we've been playing. And I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. And I mean, even in the couple games that he's already played, he's kind of looked a little bit shaky at times, but you can see he has a pretty offensive threat. He almost scored a couple worldies, to be honest. Like, he had some long shots that were curled to the top corner. Goalie made good saves. But I like his fit. I'm kind of upset because it's a loan deal, right? I'm kind of upset that there's no option to buy, because I think I would have been really interested in that. But either way, we needed another body in the midfield there, and I think he's a good replacement for Eriksen.
I think he's still going to be technically part of Bayern's plans. It's just that because he was on the bench for so long, at that point, like, you got to kind of figure out something for yourself. Or this, especially like if you're not going to play anytime soon in Bayern midfielder, which is like be like more than likely. I like the player. I think he's decent. I think a good option. I think he probably goes above Fred and McTominay in terms of your options in the midfield. Yeah, I'm not mad at the move. I mean, I'm surprised that there's no, like, options to buy. That kind of tells me that Barnes still kind of wants him, I guess, to come back. Maybe, like, if United puts the money next year, maybe that happens. If Ten Hag is convinced and everybody kind of is in line with each other, I could see him stay there. But, yeah, you got to pay Barnes for that. Because Barnes don't really spend All right, Bayern don't really let go of players like that for the on the free. You gotta pay some to them.
No, and they just made the Cancelo move too, which was kind of interesting, right? It was like super out of nowhere because, I mean, Cancelo was just not getting minutes at City anymore. It wasn't really Pep's favor, I guess you could say. They're playing Rico Lewis ahead of him, which is, I mean, Pep rotates the squad so much already, right? There's only a couple players that are like kind of guaranteed to play almost all the games. It's like Haaland, and even KDB, we've seen him not even get in the starting lineup a couple times recently.
The midfield depth is still, it's there.
Exactly, right? But Cancelo used to be one of those guys that was kind of like always starting, right? And now the fact that he kind of like, this is the first time that we've seen him kind of like lose minutes, and he's already out.
Lose minutes to basically a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, Pep has spoken really highly of Rico Lewis, but still. Cancelo has been one of the best kind of offensive threats in the league for a couple years now.
I mean, he didn't really have such a great World Cup, too. Maybe that's why he thought he was going to come back and like everything was going to be sort of what, back to what it was. For him not even to get... I was surprised that he wasn't getting minutes, honestly. Like, I've seen... Nico Lewis is very good, but, I mean, Cancelo was one of the... was probably the best right back in the world, like, a couple years ago. So, for him to just get bounced like that... sort of surprising, I want to say. Like, I mean, it was kind of unexpected. Nobody really saw that coming. And for him to go to... Bayern... If you look at the options, like, nowhere else really made more sense. They're not gonna sell him to loan him to a rival in the Prem. You're gonna get him out of England. Bayern sort of makes sense, but then he's gonna compete against you for the Champions League because him being there like definitely gives him an advantage against PSG, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, it was sort of. I mean, they even have a buyout clause, I think, for like 70 mil. I don't think Bayern. I don't think Bayern's gonna pay 70 million for Cancelo. Would you?
I don't think so. But I mean, having Davies and Cancelo is not.
But I mean, he is the better option out of what they already have in terms of like Pavard and Mazzuari. But 70 mil? I don't know. I think that's not if Bayern does it,
I wouldn't pay that for Cancelo, especially because he's like, if he was young,
City paid for him, I think.
Not necessarily young.
I think he paid 70.
No way, 70?
Or is it 55, something like that? Juve. Surprising. Yeah, he's not, I don't think he's worth the money, and if Bayern does it, it'd be very out of character. Like if it was like 40, like, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's easy money for Bayern. But 70? Especially not at that age. As good as he is, and like you know, you're gonna get production when it comes with him. Still, 70 mil for Cancelo is high, very high. Don't get me wrong, they might.
Yeah, I think that was just kind of like to kind of Man City to have kind of keep him on the ropes a little bit there, just make sure he doesn't leave for nothing. Like if you want him, then you gotta overpay for him. Pretty much, is what they're saying.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with Champions League because that's like where it matters the most, I think.
I want to talk about Chelsea because they loaned Jorginho to Arsenal.
Oh, it wasn't.
What do you think about that as an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, 12 mil.
It's a full transfer.
Ooh. I like the move because it's in terms of our depth in the midfield. So we get a veteran player that's won things before and knows how to win in the Prem, which is big. I know like a lot of people were expecting like a bigger name. Most likely and like with bigger names comes a bigger transfer fee. I think that's the criticism that I've heard about. But I think if you take away like the number, like you're getting a pretty decent player. He may not start every game, but you're getting a player that could give you like quality minutes. It can be a plus for your team. So I think it's a good move. It's a good business move for Arsenal. And I think Arteta was also pretty like fond of him for a while. I think I'm pretty sure they wanted him. Because remember when he came to the Prem, it was either City or Napoli. So Arteta, who was at City at that point, was already kind of like trying to track him. And now that he's at Arsenal and he has an opportunity to take it, he took it. So I think it's a good move overall. Not mad at it. It's not like the guy that we expected, but I think it's a pretty good, solid move from Arteta.
It's a rotational piece that'll bring you guys some help. It's also
the
experience.
The guy knows how to win. I mean, he was on the bottom of the list a few years ago, which, I mean, it surprised a lot of people for good reasons. But still, he's won with Italy. He was pretty decent with Napoli, probably one of the best players. He won the Champions League with Chelsea. He knows how to win things. The team doesn't really have a lot of winners, like, in terms of trophies and stuff. So to have that in the team is definitely a plus.
What about from Chelsea's point of view, right? Because they get rid of a player. I mean, they've signed so many players that they need to get rid of some now. They get rid of Jorginho, who wasn't really getting regular minutes now. Their results have not been much better, to be honest. Today. They're three draws in a row, including today. They're just not scoring goals. One goal against West Ham, no goals against Fulham and Liverpool. One goal against Palace, one goal against Fulham. Like, they're not scoring. And you got to think, like, they just paid 100 mil for Mudryk, and he's not a goal scorer. So you kind of feel like it's kind of show that one should only be paying that amount of money for someone that's able to score goals.
I mean, if we're talking, like, every transfer, I mean, to be fair, like, Mudryk has never played in the Prem before. He's still kind of new to the league. I think it's going to take some adaptation time for him. He's shown some decent things. Like, the Liverpool game, he did a few good things. I think today he had some okay moments. The thing that passed for Havertz. Yeah, basically.
Give him time.
You got to give him time for even him, Madueke. To an extent, Fernandez. Even though Fernandez started, like, minute one, he's been probably, like, been probably their best transfer, like, in terms of performances that he had recently, because he's been plugged in and just started and he hasn't looked back since. Everyone else probably needs a bit of time to, like, adjust. I think Badia Shila has been a starter too for the most part. Madueke had some interesting moments today. Joao Felix probably looked the best player on Chelsea. He looks very nice. He's the only one on loan, ironically. Which
is a good sign for Chelsea.
Yeah, but I think he'll eventually. I hope that Chelsea signs him, because him and the team would Havertz, even though they're not necessarily like strikers, both number 10s, but the way they combine, even today, they look really good. I think Chelsea is a project to, like, I guess, be determined. Most of their players, it's their first, like, Prem experience, and it happens to be in the middle of the season, so you kind of have to give them time. But they don't have that much time, to be fair, because they need Champions League. That's their goal. They need the top four.
Yeah. I mean, they're not getting top four. There's just no way.
I think they're going to get close, honestly. I mean, they've looked better. They've looked better than they did before, the transfers.
They're currently 10 points out of top four.
And 10 points in 3 months is realistic. Assuming that
Yeah, but the teams in front of them also got to drop points, that's gonna right? That's going to happen. Like, I mean, they can maybe squeeze into the fifth spot. They're not finishing over Arsenal. They're not finishing over City. They're not finishing over United. They're probably not finishing over Newcastle.
Unless Newcastle really fumbles, which I doubt they will do.
It's not impossible, but their defensive structure is too strong to, like, they're not going to drop points consistently at this point, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, the only way for Chelsea...
So, I mean, Spurs are wishy-washy. Brighton and Fulham, Brentford, like, these are good teams, too. Don't forget, Liverpool's right behind them, too.
I'm not even worried about Liverpool right now. They got to worry about surviving this season.
Liverpool got to worry about everything.
Everything, bro. Low-key, like, I don't know, like, what's going to happen with Klopp next season, but...
I mean, let's talk about former Liverpool legend Xabi Alonso, because what he's doing at Leverkusen, he's getting eyes are on him.
I mean, Leverkusen was bad. He's bad. First happened.
They were really bad. They were like relegation bad.
I mean, now they're 10th, which is like it's an improvement. It's not great, but it's a massive improvement compared to what they were before. So I can see Xabi Alonso looks like he's having a lot of impact on the team. He plays better. I've seen a couple of highlights. It's definitely like there's definitely improvements. Now, like Madrid is looking at him, but I don't know. It seems it's pretty big. It's a pretty big jump.
But do you think? I mean, Madrid feels like they want him. That's what it kind of feels like, right? Like he's like their next Zidane, pretty much. There's a couple questions we need to ask. Is it too soon? Is he capable? And can Madrid get anybody better? I think those are the questions.
I'm not gonna answer them in order, but is it too? Is it well? Is he? Did you say he was? Is he ready? Well, the contract.
Is he ready?
Well, I mean, Ancelotti's contract runs in 2024, so he would have one more season. So I think after one more season, probably yeah, he would be ready. But I would also think that it is too soon because I mean, Madrid. You don't. Not everybody just coaches Madrid. To be fair, you could also like argue like Zidane started with Madrid right away. Like even though he wasn't in youth teams before, but he went straight to the first team after that. So
we can't always compare to Zidane.
He's not the standard. We can't put Zidane as a standard. That's just like an outlier.
Exactly.
But Alonso's been coaching. He has some experience with Sociedad in La Liga as well already. If he does decent with the Leverkusen for 2 years in a row, assuming that he stays for next year, and I think he will hopefully. That's 2 good years of coaching experience where he's been showing a lot of progress, or even by battling adversity. And he's playing with talented players. Like this isn't a bad Leverkusen team overall. They've been decent for the last couple of years. The results just haven't been there. I think he would be good enough. I think it would also be the right time. Because after 2 years,
do you think Liverpool consider him?
That's not a bad as well.
I think there's high chances Klopp doesn't like so? He's out after this year. You know, they've had a couple bad years. You know, this year is absolutely terrible. It wouldn't be impossible for them to be like, listen, we just need a new voice. We've had our good run. We won the league. We won the Champions League.
Like, I agree, but I don't think Alonso would be like. I mean, Alonso would be one of the names. Like you gotta remember, like Madrid didn't say he's the guy. They said he's one of the guys.
Who else would they get? Yeah. Yeah, nothing's obviously confirmed, and there's kind of just rumors at this point. But I feel like the manager landscape is kind of like not dry. But exactly, that's the thing. A lot of these big names have kind of aged out a little bit.
Tuchel, Pochettino, and Luis Enrique are the only 3 names that I can think of. And if he leaves Inter, maybe Inzaghi as well. But I don't think he'll leave Serie A. Yeah, if Alonso keeps his progress like upwards, he's definitely gonna get a look from somebody. Madrid would be interesting.
I think Liverpool would entertain
this summer.
But yes,
I don't know about this season.
I guess we'll see. I think if Liverpool don't get their act together, they don't even finish like even close. A Europa League spot, like
because if you're Liverpool, wouldn't you want to go for a more experienced manager that's like won things or at least done good things? Because even though we're talking about Alonso as a progress, like he's doing a lot of good things, it's only year one. You don't really know what year two is gonna look like. Which kind of like goes against my point of like him showing like him being ready for Madrid after next year. That could also not be true completely, but. I'm from Liverpool. I feel like I should go. I would go for more of maybe a Pochettino, like a guy. Maybe if you go, but you want to go back to your pressing style, you go back to Pochettino. That's one of his, I guess, best attributes as a team, like pressing and stuff.
I mean, Pochettino's got to land the team at some point. I don't see Pochettino being a Liverpool.
Well, I mean, nobody's talking about Spurs and he did well. So why not?
I don't know why, but there's just a part of me that feels like Pochettino probably ends up at, like he's more likely to end up at like Madrid than at like Liverpool. I guess maybe not.
I'd say Tuchel has a better chance of ending in Madrid than Liverpool.
Madrid?
I think. Yeah, I mean those are really Luis Enrique would probably not take the Madrid job just because of the Barca links, so. He probably would stay away from that. But Liverpool is an idea. If he wants to leave Spain.
I mean, did you see the rumors that Ancelotti was rumored to take the Brazilian job? Brazilian head coaching job? But then the kind of Brazil came out and was like, no, we've never...
Denied that very Ancelotti quickly.
Or anything.
I wonder who's going to... I mean, I don't think Brazil usually go foreign for their managers. They usually go in-house.
Yep. But there's not really many big Grizzly managers, right?
Big name, but it's gonna be some. It probably would be like a coach that's done very good in like the Brasileira. I think it's called the Brazilian league essentially. And like shown mm-hmm. that he's capable of like winning games and big moments. Even like the Copa Libertadores, like he's shown a coach that's done well there. And they're gonna find somebody. Like it's Brazil. Like there can't be a lack of good coaching in Brazil. They're gonna find someone.
Yeah.
They have to go. Yeah.
I mean, and that team is like, I feel like that team is easy to coach, right? I feel like it's kind of just like more managing the players
and like, I mean, that's really every manager national team like goals. Like you're not like improving the players. You're just like showing them a bit of tactics and managing the egos. Probably why Deschamps has been like there for a while for France too. Like he's good, I guess in terms of the chemistry in the team. He's good at maintaining that. Even though like he hasn't really shown anything on the pitch in terms of like tactics, which is, I mean, that's the debatable point. But I wanted to go back on Chelsea real quick because I want to talk about the people that you saw. We talked about the incomings. We gotta talk about the people that are probably gonna leave in the summer. My first name on the list would probably be Mason Mount. I've seen rumors of reports of like him not being satisfied with like contract or the situation that he is right now, because he's not starting any games at the moment. I'm not saying that he will leave, but I mean the odds are, I think, towards him leaving more than staying. Same with Pulisic.
I feel like they want him though. I feel like they like him a lot. I mean,
yeah, he's very liked, but you think he's gonna accept the position on the bench?
The thing is, he starts some games. That's the issue. Like, he gets sometimes he gets a good running games, and then sometimes he's just...
Okay, let me put it this way. What if a club like a Newcastle or a Liverpool who needs, like... Liverpool needs the depth, right? They need players in midfield. What if one of those clubs were to come in with, like, a decent offer? Like, I would... If I'm Chelsea, I think I would consider it.
I mean, I would definitely consider it. And they just made so many moves to get players in. Out. They have exactly some players. Not everybody can play at the same time.
Not just him, but like even Pulisic. Like Pulisic has been, even though I mean, you would think that with the American owners, they would want to keep the Team USA captain, but it's looking less and less likely that that's gonna happen. I wonder where he goes. Is he going back to Germany? Maybe a Bayern, or maybe stay in the Prem. I know Newcastle was interested. Even United was interested. Team at United.
No, I don't see him at United. I do see him in the Prem. Like, I can see him at Liverpool. I can see him at Spurs.
Spurs could be interesting.
Or the Bundesliga.
Bundesliga would have to be... It can't be lower than like Bayern. So I don't think Dortmund would even be an option.
No, what do you mean? I could see Dortmund.
I don't know. I think...
I don't think that's the type of side Dortmund would make.
It's got to be either Leipzig, Dortmund, or Bayern. One of those three. He's not doing lower than that.
No. I don't think, I mean...
Oba's done. I said LAFC during the week, but I mean, nothing has been like... I think he's still deciding. Looks of it.
You think he may retire? No, or you think he's playing somewhere else?
I would love to see him in Montreal. No, I think he would fit Montreal very well. Yeah.
I think Montreal's been
doing some weird ass moves.
Well, maybe the French connection. Like, there's something there, obviously.
So, I mean, the French connection is always...
We've seen it with Drogba before.
It would be, that's what I mean. That's the main reason why I feel like it makes sense.
We had a good season.
He had a decent season. I mean, with Barca, he showed that he can still get goals. I think they'll...
No, I mean, Montreal had a good season. True. So
they could use... And, I mean...
It's like you're going to a team that can compete.
The issue with Montreal now is that Wilfred Nancy is gone, right? That's like we don't know what the new coach is going to look like. That's probably what LFC would probably be the best call for him. I think he fits LA as well. Like he's sort of the LA flashy type of guy. So it would make a lot of sense if he went to LA. Just hope I'd just be happy if he comes to MLS. Really, I think he's a pretty good player, and I'm once again like another veteran striker that can come and get goals and maybe end his career here.
Yeah, he can score 20 in the MLS if he plays the full season.
Injury is going to be an issue. I don't think he get 20. Probably get closer to 15. I thought Gary Bell was going to get.
If he plays the full season,
I thought Gary Bell was going to get like 12. Man played two games. One of them was the final, and that was a crazy. He basically won the final. Yeah, he won.
And they won. Yeah, Gareth Bale fashion, right? Doesn't do anything. Comes on for like the biggest game of the year
and wins the game pretty much. Yeah,
that's why you get Gareth Bale.
Do you follow the FIFA Club World Cup at all? A little bit. Who's Madrid playing in the final today? Yeah.
Today?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I see the highlights in the clip. I don't actually follow the tournament.
The tournament finishes like today. Madrid is playing Al Hilal in the final. So for some of the names that they have is Luciano Vieto, Musa Marega. He used to play for Porto. Vieto used to play for Atletico. A couple good names.
Does Madrid play their big team or do they play their backup?
The first game they played mostly starters. I think Courtois was the only one missing. I mean, their second keeper is pretty good as well. To be fair, he probably could be starting for any La Liga team. But yeah, he's not playing right now. I think he's injured actually. That's why. But Benzema is not playing. He's injured. I think Rodrigo is playing at 9, starting forward. They've been playing mostly their starters. Modric has been playing. Toni Kroos has been playing. Defensively, they keep playing Camavinga left back, which I don't understand.
Dude, the coach has said that Camavinga hates playing left back, but the coach is like, but he's so good at it. So he's like, I'm gonna keep playing.
Alba was back. Like Alba could easily play left back. I mean, until Mendy comes back, I don't know. Camavinga doesn't really. I don't see him as a left back at all, actually.
No, but I mean, I guess he fits what they want to do from that position.
When he's an attacker, he'll be very attacking. I'm sure of it. And plus, he did give a penalty away. That's what I remember from the last highlights I saw. He did give a penalty, but that's just inexperience. Okay, so Madrid is playing today, and then they're playing next week in the Champions League on the 21st. But before we talk about the 21st, let's talk about this week's Champions League, because there's a couple of big games happening this week, actually. PSG-Bayern. Mm-hmm. Those are the two games that I'm looking forward for. PSG-Bayern and Chelsea-Dortmund. PSG doesn't have Mbappe. Messi got injured against Marseille, who they...
Yo, PSG look like they're in shambles, to be honest. Not gonna lie.
Mbappe's out. Messi might be out. Neymar is the only guy standing in terms of the front three. I don't know what's going to happen with the midfield. Probably Verratti or Vitinha.
I mean, did you see PSG lost today against Monaco?
They lost 3-1? Today. I didn't see that.
Today, they played Monaco, they lost 3-1.
I saw the game against Marseille, they lost. They got smacked against Marseille. Marseille's playing very well, by the way. And 3-1, that's not good at all.
Yep. I mean, they're missing a lot of players, to be fair. Only Neymar pretty much started at the top. The rest wasn't their best 11, I would say. Like Hakimi came off the bench. Kimpembe came off the bench. Ramos came off the bench. But I mean, no Messi, no Mbappe, right?
I guess they were resting players for the game on Tuesday, perhaps. But still, against Monaco, Monaco's second.
Monaco's like second in the league, so it's kind of like.
Yeah,
and I mean, they paid for it. So, do you think it's kind of them getting a little bit too cocky, or what?
I think you said it right the first time. They're in shambles. They don't know really. It doesn't look like Gattuso knows what to do right now. Messi. I mean, I think there was a press conference where he says, like, you got to play through Messi and with Messi, for Messi. And if he does that, obviously, like, it's easy to target. It's easy to, like, play against, which is how Marseille beat them, for being honest. But it looks, I don't know, it doesn't look right at all. Like, the team does not look good. Don't create chances. It's always, like, a moment of, like, I guess, individuality that kind of forces them into doing something. I mean, I'm always speaking for the Marseille PSG game. Like, it was really only Messi and Neymar trying to do things, and then the rest of the team wasn't really trying anything else.
That's kind of usually how it goes.
You can't do that against Bayern, though. Against Bayern, you're getting at least 9 players attacking on you.
I mean, I think Bayern are going to slop them.
I would say so. I think they're not going
to... I think maybe it's a close game, but I'd say it's either going to be like close game, but Bayern kind of takes the edge, or Bayern just kind of like demolishes them. Depends how many people are injured. Depends who plays, how many people they're missing. But I mean, Bayern are in form right now.
Getting Cancelo too, that's a massive plus.
And they're always strong.
They won the game against Bochum, which it's Bayern. It's an easy game for them. But I'd say that Bayern has the advantage overall in the tie. I think they win the tie. I don't know if they win both games, but they win. Overall, they'll win. I'm more curious about Chelsea and how they're going to look in the Champions League with the new faces. No Bamian in the Champions League. They have, I think, one striker in Fofana. Because Havertz, he's playing striker, but he's not really a striker, if you can consider it like that. I think Chelsea has the edge just because of the quality that they brought. Like, I don't know if you saw Enzo Fernandez in the first two games. In the first game specifically against Fulham, he looks very good. He looks like he's been in the Prem for years.
Yeah, he does.
Never mind.
The thing is, did pay a lot for him, right? So I guess it's kind of he's living up to the money after a couple games. But he's got to keep that level up.
Never mind the money. The player, the guy can play. The guy can play. But there's a reason why Benfica qualified for the next round in the first place. He's a major part of that. Same and the same with Argentina. The reason why they won the World Cup was because they introduced Hernandez and Alvarez in the team, and that's how they changed basically the whole tournament. But Chelsea, I want to say Chelsea has the edge against Dortmund. Dortmund has been pretty good lately. Bellingham has been decent. Alaire is coming back. Just came back from obviously the cancer that he had. Looking good. I'd say I'll give the edge to Chelsea for sure. I think Mudrik's going to have a big, big, big two games against them. This is going to be big for Mudrik, I think. What do you see? Dortmund, what do you think?
I think Dortmund should take it. Chelsea kind of look... But I think it's close, right? Because I feel like Dortmund are kind of they play kind of high risk, high reward a little bit. They can have those performances where they pretty dominate the game. But they can also kind of really get overwhelmed, I feel like. The thing is, Chelsea, I don't know if they're capable right now to overwhelm teams. I don't think they're there yet as a team. If Chelsea had maybe a little bit more time under the belt since getting all these new players, I think maybe I'd favor them a little bit more in this matchup. But I think right now I prefer Dortmund with Bellingham, right? He's just a machine. And I think he will make a difference in this game. I think it'll be a high-scoring one, though. I feel like it'll be a 3-2 or something. Yeah,
I can see 3-1, but I can see 3-1 Chelsea.
I mean, listen, it could go either way, like I said. But I'd be curious to see who the favorites are. I'd be leaning Dortmund.
You gotta lead Dortmund because of the changes that Chelsea made.
I think they have more stability right now than Chelsea. I feel like Chelsea have a lot of moving pieces, and it may not all come together.
Chelsea has more quality though. Yeah.
They haven't been scoring goals. They scored max one goal in their last five games.
Quality wise, I think Chelsea has the edge. Dortmund can score goals. They can also concede.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. They play high risk, high reward. But I'd bet on Dortmund to score 3 goals rather than Chelsea.
Sure.
I mean, Chelsea, they scored 1 goal against West Ham. They went goalless against Liverpool and Villa. And they scored 1 goal. Dallas, they scored 1 goal against Fulham. These aren't huge defensive teams either, right? And they're not scoring. So that's why I'm with the recent trend, I feel like I just can't bet on Chelsea to score more than 1 goal. And I feel like Dortmund get at least 2. So.
I was just thinking that's about what you said earlier. We're going to end this right there, but when you said that Klopp was going to leave, I wonder what Klopp does after this.
I could see him at Madrid.
Klopp?
I could see him at Madrid, I mean, maybe not this season, but I can see him eventually going to a club like that.
Mm-hmm. I think he has the benefits of coaching the national team than going to Madrid. German national team. Or even England! Imagine in England, like the national team.
I mean, I'd love that. I'd love that, but I don't see it.
Like Southgate, we don't know what Southgate is gonna, what happens, what's gonna happen with Southgate yet. It would be massive move for it to if he leaves Liverpool and goes coaching England. I think it's a sick move, but it's like it makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I mean, that's just speculation. We're just talking rubbish. It's really all speculations, but it could, I mean, hypothetically speaking, it's not impossible. What time are we at?
It's not impossible. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see with Liverpool. I think, I wonder what kind of like signings and stuff they make, if Klopp is there or not. Like, these are big, kind of big questions.
Also, they're getting back against Madrid. I'm sorry. They're not beating Madrid. Next week? Yeah, nope, not happening. Even Milan Spurs is going to be interesting. That's the one tie that I do not know how that's going to go. But Napoli Frankfurt is going to be cool. I think it's going to be quality football as well. Two good teams, two informed teams.
Napoli can win it all. Yeah. I think they're one of those dark horse teams.
They're winning the Serie A.
I mean, I feel like at this point, it's kind of almost guaranteed.
Napoli is.
They're like so far ahead.
Has fumbled before. I just hope that it doesn't fumble this time. It's too good to be true.
But this season feels different.
Yeah, they've been.
This season feels different. They feel like they have a much stronger foundation this season.
They definitely have a much, much better foundation. And like, entire team from midfield, from defense, from keeper to forward is like next level.
Yeah. I mean, I can see them having a good season and then kind of like making a couple signings to get even better next season. For
the Champions League.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how far they make it this season. Like, they're definitely one of the bigger dark horse teams.
This year's Ajax.
I feel like they're just. Actually, I feel like they're more like Dortmund of a couple, like that year when Bayern won it. Yeah, I was gonna say like probably like 10 years ago, but it actually is 10 years ago.
Hey, so look at your map, boy. Yeah, maybe we gotta stop using the Ajax reference again because it's not looking good for Ajax, the Champions League anymore. It's not what it used to be.
I mean, that's tough. For Ajax, it's like a cycle. You know, they lost their manager, they lost a lot of their best players. They're gonna rebuild and they're gonna come back. It always happens.
You're right. Maybe. Wrapping it up. No, I was gonna say
something else you want to say,
but that can wait till we actually see it happen.
Yeah, we can wait. All right, let's wrap it up. Episode 84 in the books. If you made it this far, really appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Follow us on our social medias. Every time the episodes go live, you'll be notified. Forward Pressing Pod or Forward Pressing. Soon. And yeah, really. Yes, TikTok. Make sure you follow us there when that happens. And we'll see you fudging later.
Peace.
Peace. Go Chiefs.